Good morning. There we go. What a beautiful morning we have had in church today. Let me add my word of welcome to you this morning. We're going to jump right in. So if you would like to open your Bibles to Psalm 139, or you can follow along on the screen, and we're going to read verses 1 through to 16. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The darkness shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. We continue on today in our series of Summer in Psalms. Ashton kicked us off last week from Psalm 30, and today we're looking at Psalm 139. Now, just by a show of hands, was anyone here when they were in high school a house captain or a school captain or a sports captain of some kind? Anyone? A few? Yes? It's a very big deal when you're in high school. It doesn't really count for much in the real world, but it is a very big deal in high school. And when my brother was in high school, the house captain elections rolled around and the captains were actually appointed by the students. And he really wanted to be a house captain because you got the power to choose who was entered into every event, and especially perhaps if you wanted to put yourself and all of your mates in a lot of events, the power is just intoxicating. So election day rolls around. All the boys in the class have a little bit of a discussion. The teacher calls them in, and the teacher is running the Gold House elections. We were in Gold House. The others were red, green and blue. It was very original. And the teacher asks if there are any nominations. One of the boys shoots up his hand straight away and nominates one of the girls. And another boy does the same and nominates another of the girls. And this goes on for a while until every girl in the year level is nominated, and at some stage my brother was also nominated. Voting time came around and everybody wrote on a slip who they thought should be the house captain from the nominees. The counting began, and in a remarkable landslide result, my brother took out the house captain election very comfortably. As it turns out, most of the girls had voted for themselves. All of the boys had agreed to vote for my brother, and the result was done. So within the confines of the rules, they managed to rig the house captain elections. Now, lest you might think today that my brother was doomed for a life in politics, he is actually a high school teacher at that very same school where the students are no longer allowed to choose the house captains. So when my brother came home and told us all of this, and not really sure whether to be proud or appalled, my mum asked, but how could they not know? How could the girls have not realised that high school boys are not usually that nice? How did they not know they were being set up? How did the teacher not realise what was going on? How did they not know? I think so much of my life is having the continual realisation of just how much I don't know. When we're young, when we're in our 20s, we kind of think that we know everything and there's not really much more to learn that we don't know. And as I get older, I become more and more painfully aware of how much I do not know. Psalm 139 is about God's omniscience, that God is all-knowing. God knows everything and nothing can surprise him, not even the rigging of a House captain election. Psalm 139 is not the self-esteem psalm. It is not the women's conference psalm. It is not a psalm about us. It's a psalm about God. And David, who wrote this psalm, uses us as the device to explain all that God knows. David describes how God knows each of us as a way of giving words to God's omniscience. Psalm 139 is a psalm of awe. Awe is an overwhelming reverence, admiration, amazement, and fear. David, that's King David, is leading us to the worship, the reverence, and the awe of God. And in Psalm 139, David declares with the language that he uses, "You are God, and I am not." And that's the message of this psalm. David is putting God in his rightful place and encouraging us to do the same. Let's read from verse 1. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me." God knows the deep things of our hearts, things that we might not share or that we might not want everyone to know. He knows the motivations which drive us. He knows our desires, healthy and unhealthy. He knows the thoughts that plague us and the feelings that move us. Nothing about us is a surprise to him. He knows every thought before it enters our mind, every word before it leaves our lips. God knows us deeply and completely because we are his creation. He is wherever we are going and he is wherever we have been. God is with us wherever we go. We can go nowhere without him. We're surrounded by him. There's no escaping him. His hand is on our head, covering us, blessing us, always with us. God knows when we pause and when we go. He knows all of our actions. He knows when we've had enough. Nothing we do escapes him. Nothing we think is unknown to him. And we might be a mystery or a surprise or an unknown to everyone else, but not to him. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows how we feel about everything. He knows our every thought, our every gut instinct. He knows everything we do. He knows all of our intentions and imaginations. He is not like any person on earth. We experience awe at things which are not like us. Awe is when something defies explanation or imagination. Awe does not say, "Oh, you know what? That's kind of like me." Awe says, "I have no words for this." God is omniscient. That is, he has infinite awareness, understanding, and insight. And this thought might be frightening if God was a God of vindication or retribution. But we know from this book that God is love. His very essence is love. You don't know this much about something or someone unless you care for them deeply. And God knows us in mind-bending detail. God's knowing of us is never used against us, and it never will be. I don't know if you have ever had this thought that if someone really knew everything about me, they could never really love me. Or if someone knows me completely, if someone loves me completely, it's only because they don't really know me. The late Tim Keller said that to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. To be fully known and truly loved is to be loved by God. God sent his son Jesus to save us. So when we don't know our own way, we can trust that our path is not a mystery to him. No bend has surprised him. He is not confused by the direction. His perfect knowledge leads us where our knowledge fails us. God's omniscience of our way means that we are never lost to Him. Some days when I open Instagram, I don't know if this happens to you, but I scroll through and I see ads and I think, oh, I'm looking for that. Oh, I might want that. How does it know? And my first thought is often to shrug and say, well, Instagram just knows us better than we know ourselves. But Instagram is not omniscient. It just knows what we're looking for. God knows all things, not because He learned them, but because He is the origin of all things. He holds all knowledge because He is the source of all knowledge. He doesn't learn things. He is the source of all things. God cannot learn because He knows all things. And because He knows all things, nothing is a surprise to Him. That's not like me. That's not like anyone. David, as he writes each word, is lifting our eyes from ourselves and saying, "You are God, and I am not." Verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." In these verses, David poetically paints a picture for us that there is nowhere we can go where God is not fully present. From the heavens to the grave or to the depths, He is there. From the dawn in the east to the far side of the sea. For us, the sea is to the south, but for David in Israel, the sea is west. So David tells us, from east to west, there is no place we can go where God is not. God is high and low, east and west, fully present. Nothing is hidden from Him. This is not like us. Only God has this omniscience. David is prompting this response, "You are God, and I am not." We could run to the darkness in an attempt to hide God, to hide from God, and it would be to no avail. John chapter 1 and verse 5 says that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Even when we think or feel that things seem very dark, the light of the world is with us. And even when everything seems hopeless, the hope of the world is with us. The darkness holds no secrets from God, and the darkness offers no concealment from God. Verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." God is the creator and the sustainer of life. He is self-existent. God, who is fearful and wonderful, made us, and our creation reflects His remarkable creativity. We are fearfully and wonderfully made because God is both fearful and wonderful. In these verses, David shifts his tone and moves from God being the all-powerful creator to God who is completely sovereign. God knows all of our days. Nothing catches Him off guard. You might see in a movie, someone would say that, you know, your days are numbered as a way of threatening someone. But all of our days are ordained, and this is not a threat to us. This is a comfort. If we are sick or unwell or in bad health, nothing a doctor can say can change the number of days. No one will steal a day from us. If we are alone or in a hospital bed with things going on in our body that are out of our control, nothing changes the number of days. God is completely sovereign. The days of our life rest in the hands of Almighty God, and nothing and no one will change that. And no one else can do this. No one else has this dominion. This is not like us. This is only God. David continues in the rest of this psalm, and he talks about the vastness of God, his limitless thoughts, the way he is unquantifiable and immeasurable. We will never be able to say, this is where God ends. This is where he is finished. Everything else past this point is not touched by God. It's not possible. He is unending. When we are genuinely in awe, awe turns our eyes away from ourselves. When I walk on the beach and I hear the ocean crash into the shore again and again, I think, yes, you are God, and I am not. When I stand on the bridge and watch the Hopkins River run out to the sea, you are God, and I am not. When I lie in bed on a stormy night and hear rain and hail and winds howl and thunder roll, you are God, and I am not. When we think about the immensity of God, the infiniteness of God, the omniscience of God, the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God, you are God, and I am not. Over and over in this psalm, David is wrestling and drawing our gaze from ourselves and lifting our eyes and our thoughts to God to respond in awe to the God who knows you to the depths of your soul and loves you to the sky. He is spectacular, and the natural world, stunning though it may be, is but a vapor to the vastness and holiness of the God who put on flesh and dwelt among us. We are not God, and will never be omniscient, omnipresent, or immeasurable. And we were not created to be these things. We were not created to be God. But we are to be conformed to the image of his Son, with the help of his Spirit, to be like Jesus in ways that would transform our hearts and our homes and our community and our city. So today, Psalm 139 calls each of us to live a life declaring the awe of God in every place we inhabit, that the whole world might know the God who is both fearful and wonderful. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this reminder of who you are, that you know us to the depths of our soul and yet you love us to the sky. Thank you for the words of this psalm that lift our eyes to you, that leave us in awe at your vastness and enormity, and so thankful for the depth of your knowledge of your creation. Thank you that we are fully known and truly loved by our Heavenly Father, who is both fearful and wonderful. Lord, as we have sung, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you came from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt so that we could know who you are. And we are so thankful. We are so thankful. And we give you the praise of our heart, which falls so far short, but is what we can bring to the Saviour, the God who is fearful and wonderful. In Jesus' name.